We are in the 2 Kings chapter 10, starting from verse 1.
And Ahab had 70 sons in Samaria, and Jehu wrote letters, and sent to Samaria unto the rulers of Jezreel, to the elders, and to them that brought up Ahab's children, saying, Now as soon as this letter cometh to you, seeing your master's sons are with you, and there are with you chariots and horses, a fenced city also and armor, look even out the best and meetest of your master's sons, and set him on his father's throne, and fight for your master's house.
Jehu was an ordinary man, a captain of the army in Israeli kingdom. But God sent Elisha, and Elisha sent his servant to anoint the Jehu to destroy the Baal gods, all the people. Not only that, Ahab, his children, his wife, his family members, and all his relatives, they should be destroyed because they start worshiping Baal God. And God didn't like it. Elijah prophesied about him, and his prophecy is fulfilling. Now, Jehu saw 70 of Ahab's children. They were still alive. And so now what he is doing, he is telling the Israeli elders and the officers, he said, you know what? I want one of you find out the best king's son and make him a king and fight for him. And so they understood that Jehu is telling them, I'm going to fight for my life and you fight for Ahab's son's life. So they got scared, and see what happens. Verse 4.
But they were exceedingly afraid and said, Behold, two kings stood not before him. How then shall we stand? And he that was over the house, and he that was over the city, the elders also, and the bringers up of the children, sent to Jehu, saying, We are thy servants, and will do all that thou shalt bid us. We will not make any king do thou that which is good in thine eyes.
Okay, now these elders and all the officers and army leaders, they knew that Jehu killed Israeli king and Judah's king. And they were not able to fight with Jehu. So these people start saying, you know what? You killed two kings and they were not able to destroy you. So we are afraid. We are going to be your slave. Do whatever you want to do. We don't want any Ahab's son king. And see what happens, verse 6.
Then he wrote a letter the second time to them, saying, If he be mine, and if you will hearken unto my voice, take ye the heads of the men, your master's sons, and come to me to Jezreel by tomorrow this time. Now the king's sons, being 70 persons, were with the great men of the city, which brought them up. And it came to pass, when the letter came to them, that they took the king's sons and slew 70 persons and put their heads in baskets and sent him them to Jezreel. And there came a messenger and told him, saying, They have brought the heads of the king's sons. And he said, Lay ye them in two heaps at the entering of the gate until the morning. And it came to pass in the morning that he went out and stood and said to all the people, Ye be righteous. Behold, I conspired against my master and slew him. But who slew all these? Know now that there shall fall unto the earth nothing of the word of the Lord, which the Lord spake concerning the house of Ahab. For the Lord hath done that which he spake by his servant Elijah.
Now this Jehu is saying, You kill all these 70 sons of Ahab. You don't have to feel bad about it. He said this was the prophecy. Elijah already said, If you want, somebody wants to read it, you can read it in 1 Kings chapter 21, starting from verse 17. We don't have time, so I'm just giving the reference. In that, Elijah said, Ahab's every family members will be killed. And so he said, you're honored. You did a great job. God is not going to curse you, but you are fulfilling the prophecy of Elijah. And so he wanted those people to not to feel bad, killing all 70 sons of Ahab. Verse 11.
So Jehu slew all that remained of the house of Ahab in Jezreel, and all his great men and his kinsfolks, and his priests, until he left him none remaining. And he arose and departed, and came to Samaria. And as he was at the shearing house in the way, Jehu met with the brethren of Ahaziah, king of Judah, and said, "Who are ye?" And they answered, "We are the brethren of Ahaziah, and we go down to salute the children of the king and the children of the queen." And he said, "Take them alive." And he took them alive and slew them at the pit of the shearing house, even 42 men, neither left he any of them.
Now, Jehu was very angry man, and he did something which God did not tell him to do it. When you come to some power, you think you can do anything and everything. But this man, what he did, Ahaziah was the king of Judah. He killed Ahaziah, king of Judah. He had no reason to do it. And now what he's doing, he saw Ahaziah's brothers. They were almost 42 brothers, and he met them on the street and said, "Where are you going?" He said, "We are Ahaziah's brothers, and we are going to say hello to queen and her children," because they were relatives. So he said, "Take them alive and kill them also." So what happened? Ahaziah died, his brother died. So now there was a problem in Judah. We will be learning in the next chapter. But here he killed 42 of his brethren, and he did not feel even guilty, because he thinks, "This is my job, to killing everybody, so nobody can be king over me." Verse 15.
And when he was departed thence, he lighted on Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, coming to meet him. And he saluted him and said to him, "Is thine heart right, as my heart is with thy heart?" And Jehonadab answered, "It is. If it be, give me thine hand." And he gave him his hand, and he took him up to him in the into the chariot.
Jehonadab, he's coming from the Rechab family. We don't have time, but I'll tell you. You can read in Jeremiah chapter 35, verses 5 to 10. There you'll read this family were very dedicated to the Lord. They never built the houses. They lived in tents. They never planted the vineyard. And they lived a dedicated life, never drank wine, and their life was pure in the sight of God. So this is the group of people. They were separated from the Israeli people. They did not mingle. They did not do any idol worship. And they were good people. So one of their sons meets Jehu. Now Jehu knew this person is a religious person, and he will be happy what I'm doing. So he said, "My heart is good with you. How about you?" He said, "My heart is good also. We have no enmity." So he said, "Shake hand." And he shook hand. And then he said, "Come on, sit with me and see what he's doing." Let's read the verse 16.
And he said, "Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord." So they made him ride in his chariot.
Now he says, "Come and sit with me. You are going to see the zeal of God in my life." Because he knew these people are very religious. They don't want idol worship. They are very dedicated people. So he will like it what I'm going to do. See what he's doing. Verse 17.
And when he came to Samaria, he slew all that remained unto Ahab in Samaria till he had destroyed him, according to the saying of the Lord which he spake to Elijah.
Now again we see Jehu kill his 70 sons. Jehu kill Ahab's wife. Jehu killed all the relatives in Jezreel, and now he comes to Samaria, and he asks the Samarian people, captains and everybody, "So kill these 70 sons and bring it to me." They did it, but now he comes to Samaria, and he says, "Now I'm going to kill all of his people. We don't want anybody fighting me again." So he killed most of all the Ahab's relatives, his children, his family members, and his associates. Everybody were killed. Now he's not finished there. He's going for another journey and doing some great things. Let's read the verse 18.
And Jehu gathered all the people together and said unto them, Ahab served Baal a little, but Jehu shall serve him much.
Now here he's tricking the people. What he's saying, Ahab worshipped the Baal god, but he worshipped little. He's the one married Jezebel. He's the one made the temple for Baal, and not one place, many, many places. And so, but he said, let me tell you all these Baal gods worshippers, Ahab served the Baal a little, but Jehu, myself, I'm going to serve the Baal god much more. So the people thought he is a really worshipper of Baal god. And so what he's doing, let's read the verse 19.
Now therefore all the prophets of Baal, all his servants and all his priests, let none be wanting. For I have a great sacrifice to do to Baal. Whosoever shall be wanting, he shall not live. But Jehu did it in subtlety, to the intent that he might destroy the worshippers of Baal. And Jehu said, proclaim a solemn assembly for Baal. And they proclaimed it. And Jehu sent through all Israel, and all the worshippers of Baal came, so that there was not a man left that came not. And they came into the house of Baal, and the house of Baal was full from one end to another. And he said unto him that was over the vestry, bring forth vestments for all the worshippers of Baal. And he brought forth, and he brought them forth vestments.
Okay, now what he did, he was very tricky man. He did not want one Baal god's worshipper to run away. So he gave them the dresses, like gowns. And so identifying these are the worshippers. So he gave the each and every worshipper gown. I don't know what color, just think that prisoner have some kind of that orange color or something. He might have given some kind of color dress code, so he can figure it out how many Baal gods worshippers are there. So everybody got this, and now he's saying, listen, when you come into the Baal gods temple, we don't want any person who is worshiping the Lord among you. That means he's trying to say, get rid of the person who worshiped the Lord. Not to kill him, but telling, get out of the temple. So what he wanted to do, not a single Lord's servant should be killed. So he wanted to preserve all the children of God. So he said, I want only Baal God's worshippers in this temple, and not a single person of worshiping the Lord God. So they took care of it. Let's read the verse 23.
And Jehu went, and Jehonadab the son of Rechab, into the house of Baal, and said unto the worshippers of Baal, search and look that there be here with you none of the servants of the Lord, but the worshippers of Baal only.
See, we don't want any worshipper of servant of God or servant of the Lord. Only we want Baal God's worshipper in this temple. So they were honored. Wow, he's really, really like Baal God. And so see what happens, verse 24.
And when they went in to offer sacrifices and burnt offerings, Jehu appointed 80 men without and said, if any of the men whom I have brought into your hands escape, he that letteth them go, his life shall be for the life of him.
Now he appointed 80 people. They are standing outside the temple. And now he's saying, these people are worshiping, having sacrifice, burnt offering, everything. They are rejoicing. We do not want one person escaping from this temple. We want to kill them. But if you don't kill that person, then you will be killed. And so it was a strict order. And see what happens. Verse 25.
And it came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, that Jehu said to the guard and to the captains, go in and slay them. Let none come forth. And they smote them with the edge of the sword, and the guard and the captains cast them out, and went to the city of the house of Baal. And they brought forth the images out of the house of Baal, and burned them. And they brake down the image of Baal, and brake down the house of Baal, and made it a draft house unto this day.
Now, see what they did. Not only they burned the temple, they burned all the images, they burned all the pillars. They did is everything, destroy all this temple and worshipers and everybody. And they said, verse 27, he said, They made that place like a public toilet place. Where their guards were, now they're going to say, you go and use that place as a toilet. And so he was so angry, and he destroyed all the Baal gods' worshippers. Verse 28.
Thus Jehu destroyed Baal out of Israel.
So he said, this way Jehu destroyed all the Baal god out of Israel. Verse 29.
Happy it from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. Jehu departed not from after them, to wit the golden calves that were in Bethel and that were in Dan.
Now, only one mistake this man did. Jeroboam was the first Israeli king. And he made the golden calf, one in Bethel and one in Dan. And the people were worshiping the cow. But he did not destroy that. But still God had some sympathy and some grace on this man. Let's read a little bit further.
And the Lord said unto Jehu, because thou hast done well in executing that which is right in mine eyes, and hast done unto the house of Ahab, according to all that was in mine heart, thy children of the fourth generation shall sit on the throne of Israel.
Now, this is a good blessing God giving to Jehu. He said, you did a very good job. You did everything what I wanted to do. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to bless you and your children. And the fourth generation, that means four kings, will come out of you. Means his son, his grandson, his great-grandson, and his great-great-grandson. This many people will be serving. Now, if this kind of God's blessing comes to you, don't you think you should be grateful to God? And you'll be saying, thank you, Lord. If I didn't do something which is pleasing in your sight, I'm going to do it now. Because I'm going to destroy all these cows. I'm going to worship you. But he did not do that. And so what happened? I'm going to give you one verse, but let's finish the chapter. Verse 31.
But Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord God of Israel with all his heart, for he departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, which made Israel to sin. In those days the Lord began to cut Israel short, and Hazael smote them in all the coasts of Israel. From Jordan eastward, all the land of Gilead, the Gadites, and the Reubenites, and the Manassites, from Aroer, which is by the river Arnon, even Gilead and Bashan. Now the rest of the acts of Jehu, and all that he did in all his might, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? And Jehu slept with his fathers, and they buried him in Samaria, and Jehoahaz his son reigned in his stead. And the time that Jehu reigned over Israel in Samaria was 28 years.
Okay, now here it is saying, Jehu became a king and reigned for 28 years. Then he said his son became a king. But here he's saying, verse 32, when God gave him a grace and announced that your four children will be king one after another, but he did not change his heart. So hear the word of God saying, Hazael, if you remember Hazael, Hazael is the Syrian king. That also was an army officer, but he was made a king. And now this man, God inspired him, go and destroy the Israeli people. Start destroying the people, starting from Jordan to Gilead to Reubens and Manassas and all other people he start destroying. And so God is saying, I'm going to kill as many as Israeli people because they are not learning and they are not coming to me. So Israeli people start getting destroyed. Not only that, one thing God said he did not like what Jehu did. Read the book of Hosea, chapter 1, verse 4.
And the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel.
Now see, the Jehu did not do according to the word of God. You have to read a little bit more. So God punished Jehu. He says, God is going to punish Jehu means even though he's dead, his four children, they suffer a lot because these Syrian kings came and harassed them, and in his children's time, they were in exile. So the word of God says when God gave you a chance, he would have been a very good king. I'm talking about Jehu. But what happened? He started killing Judah's people. He started killing Judah's family members. And he did so many wrong things. And God even promised him, I'm going to bless you. But he kept on worshiping the idols. And his end came. And he was destroyed. Now we are going to go to the chapter 11, 2 Kings chapter 11, starting from verse 1.
And when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal.
Now this Athaliah, she's also coming from Ahab's family, and her son died because Jehu killed him. And now Jehu killed even his brethren. Now this lady is thinking, Athaliah, I'm going to kill all of my son's children and I'm going to be queen. So maybe her all other children, I don't know, they were not capable to be king. Why she got this idea, but this is the first queen in Israel. They had the queen of Sheba. But this is the first queen in Israel, and this is a wicked lady. Instead of taking care of grandchildren, she kills all the grandchildren. But thank God, this is the kingdom of Judah. According to the Judah, God promised David, your kingdom will never cease. Means in your family, everyone will be king. Now this lady start killing all the children, then the God's prophecy will be wrong. But what happened? There is a one lady. Let's read the verse 2.
But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons, which were slain, and they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain.
Now this lady, Jehosheba, she's the daughter of the king Joram and the sister of Ahaziah. This Ahaziah's children, Athaliah is killing. So this lady is married to the priest. And she took the baby and hid it from the Athaliah. Now Athaliah thinking all the children of her sons died. All my grandchildren are died. Nobody can be king. I'm going to be king. But she didn't know the one of the youngest child was saved. See what happens, verse 3.
And he was with her hid in the house of the Lord 6 years, and Athaliah did reign over the land. In the 7th year, Jehoiada sent and fetched the rulers over hundreds, with the captains and the guard, and brought them to him into the house of the Lord, and made a covenant with them, and took an oath of them in the house of the Lord, and showed them the king's son.
Now, this priest called all the children of Israel, the military guard and the elders, and he said, listen, let's make a covenant. We are not going to kill this king. We are going to take care of this king. And nobody should be destroying this king. And everybody agreed. And now see how he's taking care of him. Let's read verse 5.
And he commanded them, saying, this is the thing that you shall do. A third part of you that enter in on the Sabbath shall even be keepers of the watch of the king's house. And a third part shall be at the gate of Sir, and a third part at the gate behind the guard. So shall ye keep the watch of the house, that it be not broken down. And two parts of all you that go forth on the Sabbath, even they shall keep the watch of the house of the Lord about the king. And ye shall compass the king round about, every man with his weapons in his hand, and he that cometh within the ranges, let him be slain. And be ye with the king as he goeth out and as he cometh in.
Now, this priest made the arrangement, give the guard one third of standing outside, one third standing in the altar, left hand, right hand, and people are circling the king and protecting him. And this queen, Athaliah, didn't know anything what's happening. I don't think she was the worshiper of Jehovah God. So she never came to temple. So here the child is raised. He is almost now 7 years old. And she did not know what's happening in the temple. And a priest said, if anybody comes close to king with anger or to kill him, destroy him. And the queen said, if somebody coming from outside, and if somebody is coming to destroy the king, kill that person right away. So they were protecting the king. And king now is almost 7 years old. See what happens.
And the captains over the hundreds did according to all things that Jehoiada the priest commanded. And they took every man his men that were to come in on the Sabbath, with them that should go out on the Sabbath, and came to Jehoiada the priest. And to the captains over hundreds did the priest give King David's spears and shields that were in the temple of the Lord. And the guard stood, every man with his weapons in his hand, round about the king, from the right corner of the temple to the left corner of the temple, along by the altar and the temple.
Now see, these people were guarding the king, and they got the good weapons that King David told the priest to keep it in the temple. So all these things came handy. Now these people are guarding the king, protecting king, and the queen doesn't know anything. Now this is the priest's idea. Now this boy is now 7 years old, and they decided to make him a king. So see how he's anointing him a king, and see what happens. Verse 12.
And he brought forth a king's son and put the crown upon him, and gave him the testimony, and they made him king and anointed him, and they clapped their hands and said, God save the king.
Now what he did, the priest put a crown on this king's head and gave him the testimony, means he gave the book of the covenant. They keep it, Ark of the Covenant. That's the kind of book he gave, the book of laws, to the young boy to study. So you can see this young boy was raised in the temple, and he studied the word of God, priest talking to him all the time, and actually the priest is the king, and the boy is, for namesake, is a king, but priest is guiding him and telling him how to rule the kingdom. But when he gives him the book, I think that boy got a good education, because from the childhood, he was maybe 1 year old or so. Now 7 years old, so he learned the book of law. And now he said, okay, this is now your book, and keep it. And then he makes the covenant with the people of God and says, listen, we're going to protect the king, and we are going to protect him, and nobody should destroy him. And everybody agreed. And now, when they anoint him as a king, and they start clapping the hands, bought the trumpets, and made the lots of sound, and the queen got scared. What happened in the temple? And this is the time she's coming in the temple. See, many people do not go to church, but they see something, somebody died, or something happened, somebody's wedding, or something new happened, they came. So she had no idea what's happening in the temple, but when she heard lots of joy and people are shouting and praising God and clapping hands, so she comes to the temple. And I was surprised that somebody allowed her to come to temple, but I think this was the priest's idea. Even though she comes, let her come, you're going to kill her anyhow. So see what happens, verse 13.
And when Athaliah heard the noise of the guard and of the people, she came to the people into the temple of the Lord. And when she looked, behold, the king stood by a pillar, as the manner was, and the princes and all the trumpeters by the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced and blew with trumpets. And Athaliah rent her clothes and cried, "Treason, treason."
See this lady? She's the one did treason. She's the one killed the king's sons. She's the one became a queen, and nobody said anything to her. But now when she saw the king's son, she never thought. Now she said, now they are going to kill me. And so this, she said, this is a treason. But actually she was the one doing wrong thing. But now she is saying, you people are doing wrong thing. And if she had a power, she would have killed that boy also. But right away they said, don't kill her in the temple. Take her out of the temple and kill her outside. See what happens, verse 15.
But Jehoiada the priest commanded the captains of the hundreds, the officers of the host, and said unto them, have her forth without the ranges, and him that followeth her kill with the sword. For the priest had said, let her not be slain in the house of the Lord.
Now the priest says, listen, do one thing. Let this queen go out of the temple. But if anybody follows her, means they are with her, kill them. Because we do not want anybody following the wrong queen. We have the king now. And if somebody wants to follow that lady who is the demonic lady, who killed her grandchildren, and she became selfishly queen, I think at that time there was no peace in the country. Because when the person who is not God-fearing and he becomes the king, all people suffer. So even though she was a queen, people did not have peace. And so priest says, okay, let her go out. If anybody follows her, we will kill that person. So the people will not follow. She alone goes out. And there were places like a horse. They were bringing the horses and keeping the horses. So they were like, this is the king's palace. And the side of the king's palace, they will be bringing the horses there. So let's see what happens. Verse 16.
And they laid hands on her, and she went by the way by the which the horses came into the king's house, and there was she slain.
See, it says where the horses were coming, and when she came to that point, they killed her. Verse 17.
And Jehoiada made a covenant between the Lord and the king and the people that they should be the Lord's people, between the king also and the people.
This priest again making a covenant between the Lord and the king and the people of God and the Lord's people and all everyone. He says, now we are going to make a new covenant because we are going to follow the Lord and we are not going to harm the king. We listen to the king, and he encouraged people to make a covenant with God. Verse 18.
And all the people of the land went into the house of Baal to break it down. His altars and his images brake they in pieces thoroughly, and slew Madon the priest of Baal before the altars, and the priest appointed officers over the house of the Lord.
Jehu destroyed so many Baal's temple and so many Baal God's prophet, but still this Athaliah may be still worshipping Baal God in Samaria. And so as soon as she died, he said, get hold of all these priests and destroy all the altars and all the images. And they took care of that and completely destroyed all the Baal God and his priests and his images. Being a queen of Judah and start worshiping Baal God and try to destroy kingdom of Judah. But the priest got idea. She was destroyed, and her grandson became a king. Let's read verse 19.
And he took the rulers over hundreds, and the captains, and the guard, and all the people of the land, and they brought down the king from the house of the Lord, and came by the way of the gate of the guard to the king's house, and he sat on the throne of the kings. And all the people of the land rejoiced, And the city was in quiet, and they slew Athaliah with the sword beside the king's house. 7 years old was Jehoash when he began to reign.
Now see what he's saying. When they made Joash as a king and put him on the throne, and he says, then the city was quiet and there was a peace in the city. That lady was ruling, there was no peace. Why? Because you are worshiping Baal God, so the demons will destroy your country, destroy your land, destroy your home, destroy everything. So here the word of God says, when this Joash became a king, there was a peace in the house, peace in the city. City was quiet, no fighting, no war. And this king is only 7 years old. But he says, Joash, when he began the reign, he was 7 years old, but he reigned 40 years. And he was a good king. He did so many good things, but we will be learning more about him in following chapters. But now let's compare this with Jesus Christ. Jehu was called by God, anointed by God to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John chapter 3 verse 8. He said Jesus Christ came into this world to destroy the works of the devil. Please read.
He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
See, this purpose, what the purpose? Jesus Christ came into this world to destroy the works of the devil. And the word of God said the devil is working and sinning from the beginning. And no one was able to destroy the Satan. When Adam committed sin because of devil enticed him to do the wrong thing, God sent these people out of the garden, but at the same time God says, I am going to send the Messiah. I am going to send the Savior. That you read in Genesis chapter 3 verse 15. Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. That means if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He gives you the same power to destroy the works of the devil. The day you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He gives you power greater than the enemy. Please read 1 John chapter 4, verse 4.
Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world.
Now he says, ye are of God, a little children. Means you are the children of God and you are little children. That means you are just God saved. You do not have any experience in the Lord yet. But you are this little child, the born again child of God. But he says, you can overcome the devil. Because God has given us more power than the enemy. The enemy is the king of the world. Read the 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4.
In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them.
See, the God of this world has blinded what? The minds of the unbeliever. That means if you don't believe in God, the devil makes you blind. Why he makes you blind? Please read a little bit further.
For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us.
See, here he's saying, the devil is trying to destroy your mind, and he doesn't want you to believe Jesus Christ, who is the glorious, the power of God, who is the Son of God, who is the Savior of the world, he doesn't want you to understand. If you do not receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you are not going to understand Jesus Christ coming into this world. To understand Jesus Christ coming into this world, you have to be born again. If you are not born again, you will not understand the plan of salvation. You will not understand the plan of God. And the Bible will be like a black and white pages. You will not understand. Even though you have PhD degree, Bible is written by the Spirit of God. And they're written by the people of God who had the Spirit of God. And those scriptures only you can understand when you are having the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God comes, when you are born again, you have the Spirit of Christ and you have the Spirit of God, and your spiritual eyes opens, and then you understand the plan of God for you. And then you would know, I am not alone. God is with me. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I will be always with you. Not only that, he said, I will send the angels to minister to you. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, please read.
Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?
He said, it's a question. Are they not the ministering spirits? Who are the ministering spirits? The angels. Angels are called the ministering spirits. Now, those are the ministering spirits. They are sent to help. To whom? The people who are born again. If you are a born again child of God, God sends the angels to minister to you. That's why when you're driving, the crazy guy comes to hit you, but God protects you. If you fall, angels of God comes to protect you and will not allow you to hit your head to the stone or ground. Because God protects you. His angels are around you. And sometimes you say, Lord, I'm alone and nobody cares. But he says, you remember last time we heard that Elisha's servant says, hey, there are so many enemies all around us. He says, we have more than them. Lord, open his eyes. And when God opened his spiritual eyes, he could see all the angels and chariots of God, fiery chariots, protecting Elisha and his people. So we don't see it, but you can feel it. When you are sick, you are alone, and nobody is taking care of you, you just say, Lord, thank you. Your angels are surrounding me. You are taking care of me. I'm not alone. God is with me. And God will never leave you, never forsake you. You have to trust in God. If you do not make Jesus Christ as a Lord of your life will be miserable. See the Jehu. God gave him a chance. And God said, okay, if you didn't listen to me, even though I promise you, fourth generation, your children will be there. But as soon as the Jehu died, the problems start in his family. And all his children, one after another king came, but the Syrian king keep on destroying them. The point I'm making, God has called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. All the money, all the wealth, all the beauty will be gone. But if you live for Christ, he will renew your strength like an eagle. And he make you stronger and stronger every day. The word of God says in St. John chapter 10, verse 10, enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Half of the sentence. And the following sentence says, Jesus Christ has come to give you life and more abundant life. They will try to destroy you. Jesus tried to give you more life. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have called us with a definite high calling. The devil tried to destroy us, but you came to destroy the works of the devil. And you have given us the supernatural power to destroy the works of the devil. So we are going to worship you. We are going to magnify your name. We are going to tell somebody what Jesus Christ has done. Bless each and everyone who is sitting and standing in this hall. Let them know that the devil is defeated and Jesus Christ is exalted. And we are not going to go down, we are going to go up. And Jesus Christ is coming very soon. Bless your people, Lord, and supply their needs. And God is going to bless each and everyone individually. And God has started a good work in their life. And through them, many more people will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We commit ourselves into our loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Please be seated.